OG Podcast Network presents.
Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mindy's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, the movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we choose. Even the superhero fight club, we usually lose. So pop in those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features. And either listen by weekly or you can binge us. We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti. And with me is those of my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mr. P underscore features.
Hello, internet.
And then there's Mauer.
Beep you.
I'm going to be real happy the day you lose your voice from this because it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. You but asshole, it's coming.
But then you get the Rorschach Mauer that we've had before.
And I whispered, beep. All right, welcome to the Wednesday show. If you're new around here, that's what we'll talk about, the news.
The news.
New news. There's two. You got to say it twice.
Oh, sorry.
You just said news.
That might be the new one.
Ooh, I'm a spooky ghost.
All right.
New that's where we talk about all the happenings from around the comic sphere. So books,
comic-related current events.
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 If you're new around here, the reason why we always repeat that is we've screwed that up for probably the first 200 issues. And by we, I mean me.
And then when we started writing it up here, we stopped looking at it and can get it right every time.
Comic-related current events.
Comic-related current events.
The comic-related current events.
Comic-related current events. Events.
Comic related current events.
Comic related
comic
current events.
Related
comic related current events.
Events.
Comic related current events.
Comic related current
related
events.
Related current events. Current all right. Rabbit hole.
What
stop
kind
it.
Of
stop it.
What kind of comic related current events are we talking about this week?
So here's some clickbait. Joker's dead. Again.
Wow. Surprising no one.
Nope.
Dr. Manhattan kills everyone.
That one's surprising.
Everyone.
I can't.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
Man crush power. Man crush.
What? Mauer. Goodbye, Ollie.
Goodbye, Ollie.
Oh, Ollie, my Ollie.
Oh, Ollie, my Ollie. Jesus.
Goodbye, Ollie, my old friend.
I've come to talk to you again.
Can we just move on?
All right, let's get into the comic-related current events first. Because we're going to talk about the comics. So let's just get the Joker thing out of the way because it's dumb. Joker died from a stupid heart attack.
Ooh.
Well,
it's different.
Stupid. And he didn't.
Batman was pointing a gun at him, though.
So it's Batman Beyond. It's Batman Beyond. It's not even Batman. It's Batman Beyond. Like, I like Terry McGinnis, but it's not Batman.
But Bruce was pointing a gun at him.
Cool. It's not Batman. It's not. If this was in Detective Comics or if this was in Tom King's Batman run, cool. But it's not. It's
the
Batman
one,
Beyond.
Because remember, in that, Batman picking up a gun in that storyline is what made him retire. So him picking up a gun again and having the Joker die because of it is kind of like a sweet.
That's a
wow.
joke.
Wow.
That's a hell of a gag.
But then he dies from a heart attack.
A heart attack, yeah.
This is like Cyclops being killed by the Terrigen Mist all over again. I got close to cursing.
Wow.
The Joker died. Let me say this again, slowly.
From shock.
A heart attack.
He died from shock.
Stupid.
The joke's on him.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Yep, real fast.
Was it a real gun?
We're done with that.
It was real good. It was the scene was cool because you had Terry McGinnis's brother.
Yeah.
The Joker was trying to kill him with a crowbar.
Oh, okay.
And remember, in this universe, it's where you've got what is it? Tim Drake.
Yeah.
And all of those guys, like everything happened. So the Joker killing, he's actually dead in it. So the crowbar coming out is pretty cool. It was written pretty well. The art was really, really cool. Seeing an older Joker, you know, and like him just being in Batman's face and the fight Batman had mentally, like with grabbing the gun. So now you're going to have to go back and be like, okay, how much is that going to mess with Batman? That no, he didn't actually pull the trigger, but he was mad enough to pull out a gun.
Oh, Bruce Wayne? I don't think it's going to affect him that much.
All right. Are we done?
We're done.
Okay, let's get to the next one. And the next one's very weird, but it's kind of cool. So there's a new Justice League team.
With Regal Superman.
Another one?
Yeah, like the sixth dimension. Some of that.
Yes.
It's got three Flashes.
What?
Right? Cooler news, though, it's got a White Lantern.
Mm.
And the White Lantern's been destroyed ever since Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
Well, before Doomsday Clock. But still, Dr. Manhattan destroyed the White Lanterns. So right off the bat, I'm intrigued.
And Regal Superman looks badass.
Who?
It's like a King Superman in a white costume.
Well, the Trinity's there. So there's an older Wonder Woman, and then there's an older Batman.
Hmm.
So, but it might not be, since they're in the weird dimension, we don't know if they're going to really be good, if they're going to be evil, if they're going to try and come back into our dimension.
Do we need to explain the White Lantern? Let me just, real quick, I'm thinking, we don't need to explain Flash. We don't need to explain the Trinity. We don't need Wonder Woman, but I think White Lantern might need a breakdown.
Who?
So the White Lantern is came from Blackest Night. It is the culmination of all the lantern emotional spectrum colors.
All lights equal white.
Right.
Man, who
so,
was the first White Lantern?
Sinestro, actually. So Sinestro of the Sinestro Corps, the Yellow Lantern. He was the first White Lantern, but the only White Lantern to actually survive past that book was Kyle Rayner, who I think deserved it.
Yeah.
Kyle Rayner had to go through a test and literally had to wear each ring and deal with each emotion.
Over the years of going back and being friends with you, trying to read more Green Lantern.
Wait, what?
Well, so as I gifted Moon Knight to Menti.
Sure, I'll take that.
I feel like his gift to me is me giving Green Lanterns a second chance.
Geoff Johns Green Lantern. That's the one. You got to start with Geoff Johns.
And I've been reading them. Kyle Rayner is moving up in my Green Lantern.
He's cool.
Hall of Fame.
He's a little whiny from time to time, but he's cool.
Emotional.
Because he's an artist.
Well, that's the part
that's what makes him awesome.
I really like, because he's an artist, so his creativity is really cool.
Right. The way he uses the ring is different than most. So, anyone unaware, Kyle Rayner was the fourth Green Lantern. Fifth Green Lantern.
Of Earth?
Because Alan Scott,
mm-hmm.
Hal Jordan,
mm-hmm.
Guy Gardner,
mm-hmm.
John Stewart. Then Kyle Rayner.
I'm so proud of you. You always forget Alan Scott. And then this time you didn't.
No, he never forgets Alan Scott.
I mean, maybe I don't know. I don't, to me, this is not an argument worth having.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
Sure. Alan Scott. Woo. Anyway, actually, because of Doomsday Clock, he never got the fire and the lantern was removed from him. So technically, due to Doomsday Clock right now, Kyle Rayner would be the fourth Green Lantern.
And technically, I don't care.
Sure. Okay. So yeah, that's the sixth dimension Justice League. We'll have to see what that pans out.
And that's in Justice League issue number 19. That's out now or comes out today or
Google it.
Google it.
We record these on weird days, so it could be out already. It could be next week. Could have been last week. We don't know. Baby Huey.
But I want to talk about Doomsday Clock. So let's move past this, because Doomsday Clock issue 9. Oh my God.
Issue 9, month 73.
Yeah. The wait for this book is brutal, but man.
Is it a payoff?
Did it finally pay off? Because it's been a slow burn.
Mm.
In general, Doomsday Clock's been fun. It's been, because it's awesome to see these characters kind of connect. Anybody unaware of what Doomsday Clock is, it is the bringing in.
I love when Menti's brain goes, let me.
I have to explain it. I want to say what it is, but all right. Doomsday Clock is the Watchmen universe that we all know and love, mm-hmm. right? Maybe you've seen the Zack Snyder movie. Maybe you've read the book and did it the right way. Or maybe you're excited for the HBO show and you saw it in the teaser and you're like, what the hell was that? This is the bringing them into the DC fold. Right?
All right.
So they tease that at Rebirth, and then we've been waiting this long for it to actually happen, and it's finally here.
Now, each issue, they've given us a cool moment.
Yes, but all of them pale in comparison to the last one.
And what happened?
Dr. Manhattan wrecks everyone.
Wrecks or
everyone.
Kills?
Wrecks. Because,
So you figure they start off with a big fight, him and Superman going head to head.
No, Superman's not even really there.
All right, so Batman.
So it's pretty much everybody. But
Batman's not there.
So Batman's, well, so after the explosion in Russia from the previous episode, when after the previous issue where Firestorm goes crazy and essentially turns everybody into glass.
Right.
One of the weird parts about the book is the political side of it, the Superman effect that they say, where the United States is essentially manufacturing superheroes, so the rest of the world doesn't trust them anymore. And that's where this is kind of all leading to. That's like the Watchmen aspect of this book, the distrust for superheroes. So Dr. Manhattan's, doing his thing up on Mars, and everyone kind of figures out that Dr. Manhattan's the one behind us, so they all go to find. And when I say they all,
well,
I mean Doom Patrol. I mean the entire Green Lantern Corps. I mean the entire Shazam family.
Everybody.
I mean, everyone. Everybody.
Well, and I don't think it's they figured out he was doing it. There's the energy signature coming from that direction.
Yes.
So they assumed he was the one behind making Firestorm flip out.
Well, yeah.
Have
well,
they
no,
figured out that he
Batman,
created the whole...
Batman pretty much figured it out. Because he says, he goes, he's going to explode. And then Firestorm's like, no, I have it under control. And he's like, I'm not talking about you. And then boom. And everyone thought that that was Firestorm losing his stuff. And everyone was like, oh, it's America taking on the world. So it's that's the political side of the
book. All right, so we get there.
But it doesn't matter.
Lines drawn in the sand.
Here we go with stupid Guy Gardner, the worst of the Green Lanterns.
Oh, come on.
The worst of the Green Lanterns. The worst of the Green Lanterns.
He's not the worst.
The warrior, Guy Gardner.
Wow. Is that what we're doing now?
Because he is the warrior, Guy Gardner.
He is the warrior.
Am I wrong?
Nope.
He is the warrior.
Got that badass jacket and the bowl cut.
And you know what? You know what happens at the end of this fight?
What?
He loses his ring. So he's back to being the warrior. Anyway, stupid Guy Gardner comes down and he's like, why am I scared of naked blue boy over here? Because I took out all of these. We took out Doomsday and Darkseid. What's going on? And he slugs Dr. Manhattan. He gets him good because it looks like Dr. Manhattan's neck breaks. I mean, he gets him good.
No fear.
Dr. Manhattan just disappears, shows up next to him and goes, oh, that ring's interesting, and crushes it.
You gotta give him.
You gotta give him points.
He's got some steel cojones.
Sure, because he didn't know what he was doing.
The naked blue guy.
The naked
and punching him
and
in
it
the
did
face.
Nothing. Listen, he ate it and went. He ate that punch so much that he just looked at his ring and went, "Oh, that's cute."
Listen,
and then crushed it.
Even if there was a non-superpowered naked blue guy standing in front of us, I don't think any of us would go punch him. We'd be like, "That's
I'm
weird."
Not walking up to
and
a
I'm
member
out.
Of the Blue Man Group. That has no clothes on and just punch him in the face.
I like the Shazam family keeps like, can we put underwear on this guy? But yeah, then after that, he literally takes on everyone minus the Trinity.
Yeah.
Does anybody
Robot
even
Man and Negative Man were there.
Does anybody even give him a fight?
So you think Firestorm does. So Firestorm does explode and it looks like Dr. Manhattan's dead, right? But what do we know about Dr. Manhattan?
He's everywhere and nowhere all at once.
Right.
And then he takes, and then this is where things get weird because you know how for him, all time is linear. So like the past, the present, the future, he's seeing it all at the same time, but he still exists in the present.
But I thought he couldn't after Superman punched him.
Well, no, doesn't
that's,
know.
That's
the final moment. He can't see past that moment. But he sees the, all of time up into that moment as happening at the same time, but he's still within our timeline.
Which is funny because he explains what's happening to them.
He travels back in time somehow and to talk to young Firestorm. And then it turns out that Firestorm isn't like a mistake. Like,
the professor.
Yeah. What was it? Why can't I think of it? Martin Stein was like trying to find somebody.
The guy
to
that made
with.
Baby Huey cry.
Oh, when he died in Legends? Okay. Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Firestorm. I miss Firestorm.
Yeah.
You miss Firestorm a little bit?
A little bit.
I miss Firestorm. Firestorm, for anybody unaware, is the nuclear man. He can transmute, I think that's the word.
Yeah, I think it is.
Matter into other things.
Anything.
And then he can explode in nuclear fusion. He's essentially a merger of two people in one.
Yeah.
So he was planned?
Yeah. And that kind of like messes with his head. But it's weird that Dr. Manhattan was like in the timeline currently as well as
talking to him as he's about to try and kill him.
So what it looks like is that like he didn't really travel back in time. The what he may have done was shown him when Firestorm was actually snapping out, all those things were happening while he was showing him what his past was,
and it just probably just took place in a second.
Right.
Yep.
So that's Dr. Manhattan is so OP, bro.
That's
I mean it's
for
so
all those talking about Captain Marvel. That's OP. Dr. Manhattan is OP.
Yep. So definitely make sure you listen to our Saturday issue where we talk about Captain Marvel.
Truth. All right, let's move on past.
I don't really want to. I could talk I could talk about Doomsday Clock.
All right, and that was our show.
No, all right. Maurer, I feel like it's only fair.
I kind of feel I'm going to get a little nostalgia here. Arrow was the first thing that Menti and I really talked about comic-wise when we started working together. Because it was out, I guess 3 or 4 episodes had already come out, Menti, before you started watching it. So we were downstairs and I'm talking, I love the show, the actor that's playing, I'm really involved. Like, it was like the first fireside chat between he and I, geeking out over something. And it's now been announced that next season we're getting a 10-episode season of Arrow and then it's done.
10 episodes.
And feels like that's probably going to be leading up to the crossover. And the crossover is going to kill him. And then they'll move on with Batwoman as a mid-season filler. But Stephen Amell had, if you're a fan of the show.
I was thinking more Boys to Men.
It's so hard to say good. But if you're a fan of the show, go to his, maybe Huey, was it Facebook or Twitter where he did the live video? Go to his Facebook page. He had an awesome video where he thanks the fans, talks about how he was a part of the decision. This wasn't something done to him because he really didn't want fans like freaking out and backlashing and going at CW. It seems like he had the same contract that the guys from Supernatural have, like whatever you want, we'll do. So if he wanted to do 5 more seasons of this, because it's still their highest rated superhero show, they would have done it. But after next season, we have no more Arrow. It's going to be weird not talking Arrow news.
I know. And that's okay, though. It's the CW universe isn't going away. CW, you know, DC TV, that'll be around. And he's not, Amell's not wrong. Go out with a bang. Do this. He's doing what Breaking Bad did. It knew when to end. And to be honest with you, that show, although this season's been good, previous seasons haven't really been keeping up to par ever since The Flash. And it's because of The Flash. Like, they feel like they got to keep up and add metahumans and nonsense that doesn't need to be there.
They're like magic.
What was that?
Like magic.
Yeah, doesn't need to be there. So I understand this show ending, and it's good that it is. And honestly, I want to see what Stephen Amell does next. I mean, we know he's a terrible Casey Jones. Wow. But that's not his fault. That was the script. I'm not blaming Stephen Amell for that, because that script I'm going to be a detective. Like, that was just, that's officer. And one day I'll be a detective.
You can't blame him for that.
No, that was lazy writing. That was horrible writing. That was, inside all of our DNA, there lies a dormant connection to the animal world. What? What the hell did you just, what?
Womp, womp.
But yeah, Arrow's done. We know we're getting Batwoman. So I have a feeling Batwoman, we had said this before, that's going to be the Arrow.
That's new Arrow.
And you couldn't have both of those shows on, I don't think.
No.
Because they have too much of the same DNA.
And look, Stephen Amell, he's going to keep popping up. Like, let's be honest.
Flashbacks.
Yeah, he's going to be there all the time. For a while, he's going to be
executive producing, directing. I guarantee he's going to direct a bunch.
Yeah, Batwoman gets to stay darker than Arrow did, I would assume.
Well, Arrow is only dark because Batman.
They figured out the formula by this point for everybody. Like, I think last season, this season, they know what works for each show.
Right.
I think that's going to really help Batwoman out when they go into that show, is they know what's going to work. It is a Batman-less world, so they're basically going to take what they did for Arrow and give the Batman elements to him to Batwoman. I think it's going to be a good show. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised from what we saw of Batwoman already, what the show is going to be, because they're keeping a lot of the Arrow writers on for it. But
look, he's not wrong. And honestly, if it's going out with Crisis on Infinite Earths, that's the way to do it. I mean, if there's ever a book to go out on, that's the one.
And for him to say, hey, because of me, we got to do this.
Are you giving me, I have to give a
breakdown on Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Well, not
so. Continuity was so convoluted in the 80s for DC Comics that they felt like they needed to correct things. So what they did is they made the Crisis on Infinite Earths, which had the Anti-Monitor destroy the multiverse as a whole, and it fixed all their continuity problems and then caused a whole bunch of new ones when you brought in Power Girl, or what the hell's her name? I can't think of her name.
No, it was Power Girl.
Yeah, but why can't I think of her name? Kara Zor-El. No, Kara Zor-El?
Kara-El.
But it doesn't matter. Supergirl, because he was supposed to be the last surviving son of Krypton, and then she's still there, so she had to still come from another place. It doesn't matter. It fixed continuity problems. That was the whole point of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, but I was
Is that a fine enough breakdown for like 2 enough, seconds? Okay,
but now,
moving on.
Who? Okay, never
mind. Now, the futures that we're seeing in Arrow look like they're post-crisis.
Wow, it's weird to say that with Arrow. Because post-crisis, if you're a DC fan, you've said post-crisis a lot.
Yeah.
Post Zero Hour.
Post.
That
crisis.
Is weird to say. So it looks like they're post crisis. So
would it be post crisis or post crisis crisis?
I mean, it doesn't deserve it, but I want to just do it just because. So end a one, end a two.
Earth two.
If you're new around here, that's what we're not sure how your brain gets from point A to point B. And I understand that your brain got there, but I'm still giving you one anyway.
And unfortunately, Earth 2 will be gone with Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Touche. Earth 1! All right. So moving on from there, let's talk about Titans. So Titans is phenomenal.
Phenomenal?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
And it's a shame because every time I, like, if I'm at work and I'm like, dude, you got to watch Doom Patrol. It's so good. And they're like, oh, sure. Where do I watch it? I'm like, the DC streaming service. And they're like, well, I'm not watching that. I don't blame you. But for all of us who are willing to pay or have a baby Huey in their life, you can watch this wonderful show already. But for those of us who don't live in another side of the world and can't get it on Netflix, they're going to release it finally on DVD. So it's worth noting that the digital version will be available March 21st. It's going to be $25.
That's not bad.
No, not at all. For what? Because it's phenomenal. But the DVD itself hasn't been given an actual date. And according to the notes, 40 minutes of extra content. All right. I'll take that.
Well, that's probably the extra content that you get. Isn't there special features?
I will say, though. Spoiler alert. Or maybe I shouldn't say this.
You've got us all waiting.
The final, I got to figure out another way to say it. The final villain that they've been teasing at, like showing up the whole time, and like they finally get there, and you're like, yes, so and so is going to be here because he's awesome. And then he shows up, and you're like, whoa, what is Damian Dark from Arrow here? Who is this? This is not the person that I wish it was connected to Raven, without spoiling anything, but you all should know who I'm talking about if you know who Raven is and like her whole story. And if you don't know and you're still interested, go ahead and Google it. But still, who the hell was that?
All right. I want to give you an Earth 2 just for that, but I'm not.
I think it all made sense.
It did.
Well, it did.
It just was one word.
But the sheer fact you said spoiler alert and didn't really give a spoiler.
I'm confused. My brain.
Because I didn't want to talk
like
about
Baby Huey.
I just
right
did
now.
All these people who get a chance to finally see this show without
and
having to pay for it.
One and a two. He's just not going to do this. You suck. You know that?
I'll Earth 2 me with you. Come on. Here we go. And a one and a two.
Earth 2. Listen, I'm celebrating the fact that it's going to be gone.
Yeah, I know.
let's talk about something else on the DC streaming service.
Yes, something I'm very excited for as well.
They got the first look at the Joker.
Which, so first you got to say what the show is. So Harley Quinn's animated series that had the coolest ad. Mm. I'm very excited for this adult R-rated Harley Quinn show.
Their cartoon Joker looks like a combination of the animated series mixed with Dark Knight Returns.
Isn't it Steve the Pirate?
It is Steve the Pirate.
I'm pretty sure it's Steve the Pirate.
Yar.
Oh, what's his name? Yar. Yar, Steve. What was it? Peter? That was his name? Who was the main character in Dodgeball?
Yeah, it's Peter.
Yar, Pete.
It's Wash.
Pirate Steve will be a no man debt.
Wait, but isn't he Mr. Nobody
when I
too?
Find my treasure.
Baby Huey, isn't he Mr. Nobody as well?
Yes, yeah, he is. He's phenomenal as Mr. Nobody.
So he's Mr. Nobody and the Joker.
Mm-hmm. Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
Wash from Firefly. But it also looks like it has a little bit of Jack Nicholson inspiration.
What do they call the Reapers?
The Reavers?
The Reavers. How do the Reavers clean their spears? Run it through the wash. Because he dies. Spoiler alert.
Beep you.
Oh, I love making that joke.
Anyway, Haley Kuko or whatever her name, she posted a picture. Moving on.
I'm happy that she's going to be... Like, yeah. I love that Penny is going to be Harley Quinn. Like,
I still think there's got to be beef that? Between her and Bernadette, because no. Bernadette was Harley first.
Sure, but she's not going to... No. Then maybe. All right, so, yeah, that's our TV news. Let's move into movies. So, movies. Let's talk about Captain Marvel, because Captain Marvel is destroying the box office right now. $153 million domestically. Well done, Captain Marvel.
And that...
Well done.
I don't know if everybody remembers that's listening. They're like, yeah, it's going to make between like
nobody
80
knew.
And 160 million, which they fell into their range on the high end. But this is one of the few movies that lately they were like, we got no flipping clue of who's going to see it.
Right. But it's making its money. It's doing what it needs to do. Check us out on Saturday where we give you our review of Captain Marvel. It is a spoiler review, so be prepared.
And you can tell they were a little nervous because on opening night, they sent Brie Larson out to a North Jersey movie theater.
Video. Yeah.
Did and had her
sweatsuit?
Yeah, that sweatsuit. It was like a, it felt, you know what? It felt very nostalgic. It was like a velour sweatsuit. Yeah. And it didn't feel like
it was like a 90s.
Early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they sent her out to work the concession stand. They were like, we're going to create our own buzz in case the movie doesn't create its own. So, but it did well.
It very, very much did. All right. So here's a non-spoiler review. I liked it. Features?
I definitely liked it.
Maurer?
I didn't see it.
Shocking. all right. So moving past that, let's talk about some Silver Surfer news. Because we talked about this once before, but let's do it again.
Okay.
So some unreliable, and I'm going to say unreliable just because they haven't released sources, have said that Marvel is laying out their groundwork for bringing the Avengers together with the X-Men and bringing the Fantastic Four into the fold. And they're laying that groundwork for their next master plan out. And it sounds like the first movie we're going to get is the Silver Surfer. But it's going to be Menti's Silver Surfer movie.
What do you mean?
Means it's going to show him in his early days being the Herald of Galactus. And it's probably going to end with him finding Earth. And then therefore introducing us to
Fantastic Four.
I think that sounds appropriate. So
love flipping the idea of meeting the Silver Surfer for the Fantastic Four.
Because we don't need to meet the Fantastic Four.
There's a few actors that are up for it. However, they might even go back to having what's his name, Doug.
You know how you introduce Galactus?
How?
You do the Annihilation storyline.
Yeah, we talked about this.
And we said that.
Yeah.
He's going to tell it for the people that didn't listen to that issue 40 issues ago.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So in the Annihilation storyline, Galactus is kidnapped by Annihilus and turned into a giant cannon. So he's used as a weapon. So if all of a sudden we were watching the Annihilation storyline, Conquest, and then we meet Annihilus and then boom, strapped to the front of the ship is Galactus. We would all lose our minds. And then the way the movie ends is they free Galactus and he just wrecks everybody. And then he makes his way to Earth. And that's how you meet the Fantastic Four. You open up with the Galactus trilogy. Trilogy? Was it three issues? I think there was Galactus trilogy. Never mind.
Who played Silver Surfer in the movies? Because they're thinking of bringing him back.
Lawrence Fishburne did the voice.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was the guy that was Abe Sapien and... That played but anyway, they're thinking, you know what, they might even bring him back.
Norrin Radd, for anybody who's unaware, is Galactus is the being that eats planets, and he's the silver dude that's on the surfboard that's next to him that shows him where the planets are.
Right.
And he has every cosmic power available. He is the most MacGuffin character I've ever seen because he can do whatever the hell he wants because he has the power cosmic, which means absolutely everything.
Everything.
Like
teleport, time travel.
Whatever the hell he wants to do.
Brew coffee.
He can travel at light speed. Three dimensions.
Cracks me up every time he has to like track somebody. He's like, I'll track them using my so-and-so ray tracker.
Doug Jones was the actor that played him in
Dougie Jones.
The Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Doug.
So it'll be cool. If they do that, I think it's going to be... Banging on a trash can.
we were making Doug jokes and I thought we lost Maurer on that one.
No, you didn't.
Drumming on a street light. Think big.
So I'm going to throw this news up there that Baby Huey totally got me with.
Yeah.
And I was so excited when I read the headline and then I wanted to beat the ever-living crap out of it. So Matt Bomer is Superman.
I'm sorry, what? Who?
Now, Matt Bomer is famous for his role on White Collar. He was actually up and pretty much secured for the role for Superman Returns as Superman. But due to some shady Hollywood politics and his sexual orientation, they pulled him. Now, it could be because that script, everybody already had thought it had some homosexual overtones. And if they had a homosexual actor in it, they were like, oh, no, we can't do that. So they literally blacklisted him from that role.
Wait, Superman's hetero?
So then they had him be a voice actor in it to kind of pay him back.
Womp.
It looks like he got to finally play Superman in a Japanese car commercial.
Cool. So. Oh, and last thing, Stephen Amell wants to play Moon Knight. I just wanted to steal it from you.
I wasn't going to mention it because we hit our time. But
Stephen Amell wants to be Moon Knight. Stephen Amell, that guy who was Arrow, that he played Ollie, he wants to be Moon Knight.
Can he?
Mark Spector.
You think he could pull that off?
Dark, crazy. When we saw the scene of him in
Arrow
last season in Arrow, where was it last season when he was in the prison and he freaked out?
Who should he be?
Well,
who should he be?
You named it,
who
and it's perfect.
Should he
Stephen
be?
Amell, if you're listening, you need to be Cyclops.
Cyclops, you look just like him. Put that visor on him, dude. He looks just like him.
He would be a perfect Cyclops.
He'd be great. Stephen Amell would be an awesome Cyclops.
And I would hate it because I'd have to be a Cyclops fan.
Guarantee you, it's got a better script.
Be a Cyclops fan.
I'm gonna be an X-Man.
That's the name of this show. I'm gonna be an X-Man. On that note, do that thing.
You can find the show Welcome to Fireside everywhere online. That's at Welcome to Fireside, or just go to welcometofireside.com. Once again, I'm Minty.
I'm Features.
And I'm Mr. Mauer. Don't forget to check us out on the OG Podcast Network. That's OGPodcastNetwork.com
or the app. Boom!
Excelsior!
Excelsior!
Deuces, bitches!
I'm gonna be an X-Man.
Ew. Not in my office. Jeez. Take him home so he can deuces there.